This is the Rain Report. For many radio clubs, hamfests are the major source of income with which to finance local activities. That's all fine and dandy, but what makes a hamfest successful? Kevin Karamanis, WD6DIH, is National Sales Manager for Yaesu USA's Amateur Product Division. He attends some 25 hamfests annually and has some definite ideas about successful hamfests from the perspective of both a vendor and a ham. Kevin was interviewed by Hap Holly, KC9RP, during the Rain Spotlight.
How does a hamfest get dealers to kick in for some prizes, or at least make them available at cost?
Well, there's several choices, and the most prominent one is if you have a small, medium, whatever size hamfest, you've got to get at least one dealer there to do the selling. They've got to have the equipment there. And one of the tricks of the trade is to offer a dealer or however many dealers coming in, usually charge them a booth space, and that price varies. But maybe give them a discount. If they buy three booths, give them a fourth booth free if they'll donate maybe a low-cost handheld. The same thing works with some of the manufacturers that if you contact, if it doesn't work through the dealer and he's not interested, contact the manufacturer. And this is true whether the manufacturer attends or not. Maybe we would like to have, whether it be a Yaesu, Kenwood, ICOM, Malenko, maybe we would like to have one of the prizes there. We'll contact us and we'll offer some sort of discount. As long as we know that it's used as a raffle and it's not going to somebody specifically, we may offer. And typically today, and this isn't the rule, but typically most of the manufacturers, either through a dealer or direct, will offer a 35% discount off of retail price for that small to medium-sized hamfest, just to make sure their name gets put somewhere in the program. That's all it takes, and they'll offer a discount. That's a good way of getting some prizes.
How many prizes should you give away?
Well, that's tough because you've got so many different types of shows. The smaller shows, obviously, they can't offer prizes hourly. You'd have to offer discount coupons of some sort. But what I recommend for small to medium-sized ones starting up, most shows, a one- or two-day show, give the prizes at the end of the day. And unfortunately, that doesn't always work because what happens is, especially a two-day show, on Sunday afternoon, everyone's gone home. So the winners are usually gone anyway, so they have to be notified the next day. What I recommend is something we've just started to try and recommend to some of the Hamfest committees, no matter what size shows, offer the prizes. Say let's say you've got a show of a couple thousand people. Why don't you pick maybe the 500th person or draw a prize a couple hours in the very beginning? And that's always a great way to get excitement, because instead of waiting at the end of the day, there's nothing like maybe an hour or 2 hours into the show, draw an early bird prize there for those that are there early in the morning and they win it. And even if you can't do it every hour, maybe a couple times during the day, that gets everyone excited and you know, going. I know that a lot of the hamfests, as I mentioned earlier, if you do the prizes at the very end of the day or like on a Sunday afternoon, most people have gone home already. So they find out about it by postcard or mail, and it's much funner to win a prize and take it home with you. So I recommend a few times during the day, and you can stagger it, and that keeps people guessing when they're going to be, and it keeps them around, and maybe a chance they'll buy something else at the flea market or stay around with their friend and have a cup of coffee. Most shows that we go to start at 9 o'clock, and, of course, you have the initial rush because everyone's there to get in, and they want to meet whoever they can or buy the radio of their choice or their antenna, and they want to get out. Typically, 3 hours, 4 hours to Hamfest, unless they've got a lot of good forums and talks, they're going to run out of there or try to leave at least for a few hours. And what happens is if they're locals, after 3 or 4 hours, you're done pretty much seeing your friends you haven't seen in a while, and get out. Now that's typically true, not always. I know that when I go to some of the shows, I try the first thing in the morning is hit some of the flea markets, and because that's when some of your best buys are, and the equipment's still there, some pretty decent equipment, in fact. And then about 10, 11 o'clock, I'll hit the show, because right at the beginning, that's when the show's the busiest. Everyone's trying to get there. But one of the ideas we mentioned earlier is if you go ahead and offer some prizes, maybe that's the best time to offer prizes at 3 o'clock. It keeps people a few more hours, and everyone has a better time.
From a dealer point of view, what are the do's and don'ts about not only getting a dealer to your Hamfest, but making sure that they'll be back next year?
Okay, well, a dealer, obviously, to travel, whether it's 1 mile or 100 miles or 200 miles, we have some that maybe go even farther than that. Dealers like to go to shows. especially if they're the only one there. Now, of course, you can't ever guarantee that, because dealers, if they sell a lot of radios, and once again, depends on the area, depends on the economy. But overall, the dealers will go to any of your show if you invite them, if they don't have another show at the same weekend. But there's a catch, and I ran into this problem, as a matter of fact, less than a month ago. I won't give the location, but the last couple of years, they've had one or two dealers at the local show that I attended, and they've done very well, and the dealer said they were very happy. Well, this year, the show only grew a little bit, so this year, the local club that put on the show invited two more dealers. So now they had four dealers that show up at the show versus one or two. And, of course, all the dealers only sold a few radios, so they were all very disappointed. And now next year, unfortunately, the local ham club said that they can't find any dealers to go to the show. So you get to a point where you have to balance it. And I would say typically on a smaller show, one dealer's enough. If you get two dealers for anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000, that's a good number. And then, you know, obviously the bigger shows, when we go to like Chicago and a few others, there's three or four dealers. But when you get over four and five dealers that sell amateur equipment, then you have a problem, because everyone's not going to do well. And what happens if no one does well? No one will show up next year. So you've got to kind of balance it. And usually a couple of dealers is just about right. If you get more than three or four at a larger show, they're usually disappointed by their sales. That doesn't justify them coming out and driving out with their crew and setting up a booth and paying a booth space and hotel costs and food, because they have to make a profit in addition to all their expenses when they come out to your show.
What criteria do you set for attending a ham fest for the first time? What criteria, what requirements are there that really make you feel like you're not taking a real gamble?
Well, yeah, I'll be honest with you, it's always a gamble doing a first ham fest. What I try to do is, if we get many letters, and we're right now, as a matter of fact, we're setting our 1993 schedule. It's just about set a year in advance. But what we look at is, if we have a show that we're really thinking about doing, I will either talk with the dealers that have gone in the past, or I'll talk to other manufacturers. Or if none of them have attended, I might myself go out, or one of my staff may go out and just view the show in person before. It's very rare that we'll take an application or a letter asking us to go to a show and just show up there, because our booth, our complete booth, is in giant crates, and it's set in with a moving company all around the country, and the schedule set ahead of time. So what we'll typically do is we'll do a little footwork, and if the numbers are pretty close to what they're saying, and what I mean by that is, whenever you write somebody to invite them to your show, you like to at least mention what your approximate numbers are or what you've had in the past. And if, of course, the numbers check out, then there's a good chance we might go to that. But once again, we'll do a little footwork ahead of time just to make sure before we – it could cost a lot of money to attend a show, obviously.
You're listening to an interview with Kevin Karamanis, WD6DIH, who, as national sales manager for Yaesu USA's amateur product division, attends more than two dozen ham fests annually. We'll conclude this program in a moment. This is the RAIN Report.
You're listening to the RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
We don't have a whole lot of time left, but we need to cover forums and alternate activities. Forums, first of all, how do you get forum speakers, and what kind of criteria should you set for a forum? What kind of subject matter? How long should they be, and where should they be held?
Well, typically, what I recommend to people that ask for the advice on forums is try to do them an hour. If you do them longer than an hour, and it depends on your rooms, if you've got plenty of room, maybe 50-minute intervals, so you can start someone, let's say, at 11 o'clock in the afternoon, and at 11:50 it's over, and it clears out for the next forum. And that's usually a long time. If you go more than an hour, people will tend to go in and out of a forum during it, and it makes the guest speaker uncomfortable because he sees people leaving and going in and out. Sometimes if it's a very long forum, you can do a morning and afternoon hour, but I recommend only an hour. The type of forums that I recommend are from basics. A lot of people like to see how to build an antenna. Sometimes they'll invite a radio manufacturer to show and tell his new products. That's hard to do in a booth when you've got people gathered around. Obviously, you can get guest speakers, and then, like I mentioned, maybe it's not uncommon to find an astronaut. There's always some kind of a star living nearby in your area that I'm sure you can be aware of, and they would talk for a few minutes. And usually the speakers will come out for very little, if next to nothing, just because they get to talk about to local hams. And Skywarn's another good one that we don't have in the West, but it's good in the East Coast. Someone from the Weather Service comes out and talks about that. And even surprisingly, you can get people from the FCC a lot of times in the field office, and they will sometimes come out and do a short talk on whatever subject, licensing or enforcement, and that's always a real good draw. So any of those things, if you put three or four of those together in a program, boy, it really makes a big draw.
But it sure is important to have a good facility for the speakers. Nothing worse than having a speaker put a forum on in a corner of a large room where there's several other activities going on. I've seen that happen, and it's awful, not just for the speaker, but for the listeners as well.
Yeah, it's sometimes distracting for someone, especially when they're talking, and that happens a lot at Dayton, unfortunately. I know we've got so many people there, but I'll tell you, I've seen some of the best talks, and I picked up some of the best tips at some of the forums, so don't ever, I tell everyone listening, don't ever overlook that. Look at all the exhibits, but also look at your program guide, and there's some great ways to learn some information, and of course, they're usually free, so that's kind of nice.
And the Dayton forums are a great source of interview material for the Let's Talk Radio Network and for Rain as well. And finally, before we wrap it up here, alternate activities. Those are real important because if you get women or non-hams in a ham fest, especially women, or, i.e. wives or girlfriends who really don't care about hamming, you really need something for them to do, don't you?
Yeah, you do. I know when I take my family, I've got a four-year-old, and he goes to some of the shows now, and he enjoys the show for the first hour or two, but then you get to the point where, what are you going to do the rest of the day, of course, and I'd like to attend the show, and you've got to find something for the kids and the spouses. Sometimes, believe it or not, it's the wife that's a ham, and it's the husband that's not a ham, and that happens a lot now. So what I recommend is, and especially promote it ahead of time, because that way this really helps your show, or you know, helps you put on your show. And that is promote it in your upcoming flyers announcing your event, and have alternate activities. And you should list those right up front. And those can be examples of as simple as a local bus trip. Let's say every hour on the hour you could have a local van that drives to the local shopping mall. So now someone can get some shopping done they never had the chance to do. They won't feel so guilty while their spouse is at the show. Or some of the more progressive shows have even brought in people and paid a little money and had some child care. And, of course, that's a little more complicated. But once again, if you people bring the kids to the show and the kids are going to be taken care of, whether they're playing blocks or feeding them lunch or just giving the parents an hour or two to roam around, that's always good, too. And it makes a little bit of a vacation out of it. And any type of activity you can plan. Most shows have some sort of an interesting some sort of a special interest you can go look at and check out, whether it be in California at Disneyland or in Chicago. There's all kinds of things to look at. But offer some small trips and organize it, and that'll even bring your draw, bring in another 10 to 20% draw than you expected usually.
And I think a final point that needs to be made here, what kind of insurance do you need for a ham fest?
Well, Hap, you do have to cover yourself, especially if you're a ham club. There's many types, and I won't go into it because it's so complicated, but most of the fairgrounds you have, they have insurance that will require you to get some sort of a policy, and usually the policy is only good for, of course, 72 hours, so it's not as bad as you think, and the price varies, but if you talk to the local fairgrounds, for example, let's say you're going to put a show on, ask them ahead of time, and they'll tell you exactly what policy is required, and then you go shop to a couple places and they'll write the policy for you. And once again, it is a little bit expensive, but it's only for 2 or 3 days and then you're covered. And make sure your insurance covers the setup period, because that's when most accidents happen, is on the Friday before a show and on the Sunday night when everyone's rushing to leave. It's not the people at the show. It's usually your exhibitors or people in the flea market that hurt themselves trying to rush their gear in. So make sure it covers the full 72 hours.
Very good point. To wrap it up, if you're, do you have maybe just three or four real quick points to give to a very small club that really isn't ready to put a ham fest on but would like to?
Sure. Quite often people call us up and say, what can I do? I'm starting from scratch. And what I recommend is a couple of things. First off, give us the date and give us the ballpark attendance, what you're going to have, whether it be 500 or 1,000 people or 200 people. Let us know. Most manufacturers, including us, will send out literature, catalogs, so at least you've got a presence. You've got the newest material there. the latest material. Many of the manufacturers obviously will offer special pricing. Ask them in your letter. Say, do you have donations? Do you have special pricing for our first-time event? And, of course, they want to help it succeed, so they're going to offer it. Since we can't make it, we offer that. And above all, offer some promotion items. And since your first time you're doing a ham fest, put in there a brand new handheld or a brand new mobile radio or a free antenna or something like that. And as long as you show raffle or prizes, that'll always bring those people that are hesitant about driving the extra few miles, because that brings people in. And what I've talked about here, once again, the catalogs, the literature, well, doesn't cost you anything. And obviously the prizes, if you get a discount, that's a great deal. And that's a great way to get started, and it doesn't cost much money.
You've been listening to Kevin Karamanis, WD6DIH, National Sales Manager for Yaesu USA's Amateur Products Division, unlocking some of the mysteries behind successful hamfests. He was interviewed by Hap Holly, KC9RP, during the RAIN Spotlight. Editorial note, while it may be too late for some and too early for others, we hope the ideas expressed in the preceding program will help your radio club's next hamfest avoid becoming a junk fest. For the RAIN Report, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ.
The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2006, RAIN, all rights reserved.